I'm Greta Cunningham. Programming on Minnesota Public Radio is supported by Twin Cities Business Monthly, the magazine of Minnesota business.
It's 6 minutes now past 12 o'clock. And good afternoon. Welcome back to Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Acton. Glad you could join us. Minnesota legislators are heading down the home stretch now. This is the final week of the Minnesota legislature's 2001 legislative session. State constitution requires the legislature to finish its business and adjourn by next Monday, just a week from today. All the major tax and spending bills are still up in the air. What's more, there are several controversial policy questions that will also be resolved one way or the other this week. Minnesota House Tax Committee this morning, as you heard on the news, has been trying to decide whether to support construction of a new ballpark for the Minnesota Twins. State Senate is scheduled to vote this week on whether to change the state law governing how permits to carry concealed handguns are issued. Then there's the provision in the big Health and Human Services bill that would require women who want an abortion to wait for 24 hours and receive specific information about an abortion before they receive one. That bill has passed both houses of the legislature, but Governor Ventura says he will veto the bill because of the abortion provision, putting in doubt passage of the entire Health and Human Services bill. Well, lots to talk about today, and before we get started with our conversation with those of you who are listening, let's check in with our bureau at the state capitol, where Minnesota Public Radio reporters Michael Koo and Laura McCollum are standing by. Good afternoon, folks.
Good afternoon, Gary.
Good afternoon, Gary.
Let's see. Where do we begin? Let's start with the stadium bill. Michael Koo, you've been covering that, I understand, this morning. What's happened with the stadium issue?
Well, it is back on its feet again in some form or other. It was passed out of the House Tax Committee, as we heard in the newscast, on a 15-9 vote. Now, about a month ago, a similar bill was laid on the table by a 12-6 vote. So we've flip-flopped now, and legislators seem to be more willing to accept the bill. That's in part because a lot of the public funding, I would say most of the public funding, has been taken out of the legislation as it stands in the House, and it now moves on to the Ways and Means Committee for another hearing this week.
What's in the bill now?
Well, the bill would, the Twins and other private sources, again, would put up about half the cost of a $300 million stadium. There'd be another $140 million issued in revenue bonds, which would be paid for from the Twins' lease on the stadium, as well as from a ticket tax. And then the final contribution, which is the only real direct state subsidy, would be a $10 million or so tax break on construction materials used in the building of the stadium. So, supporters are saying that it's now 97% privately financed, and that's, I think, where it's picking up some legislative support.
Have the Twins indicated whether they could accept such a bill? Doesn't seem like there's much money there. You just do this on their own, I suppose.
Well, that may be the sticking point at this point. For so long it had been that there was too much public money, there was a lot of opposition to that, and now that they've gotten the bill in this shape, it's the Twins who are saying they're disappointed with the legislation. Twins President Jerry Bell was saying on Friday when that language was drafted, and again today, that it's doubtful they would support it in its current state, and that they think that there's going to need to be more public involvement if the team can live with it.
There are people, I'm sure, who are listening to us right now who are saying, well, goodness gracious, given the time constraints here, given all the work legislators have to do, this stadium deal seems like the last thing legislators should be spending a lot of time on. Will this, in fact, consume a lot of time this last week of the session?
Well, it's already consumed a fair amount of time. It was in the Tax Committee for about 3 hours today. It was in there 3 hours on Friday as well, so that's 6 hours just in those 2 days. It goes to the Ways and Means Committee next. If it passes there, it'll go to the House floor, which would, I'm sure, have a lengthy debate. There's also the Senate to think about, so, if it's going to move and become law, it's going to take some time from the legislators.
And is there any sense, Michael, as to whether, in fact, it is going to move forward, or has it simply been shuffled off to another committee to languish?
Well, it's picking up momentum. Like I said, the vote now is 15-9 in favor of, whereas a month ago it was 12-6 against. So there's some support that seems to be building, especially in the House. If it stays in its current shape with this much reduced public share, there's always a chance that it would pass out. But then, of course, they'd have to go to Senate House Senate conference committees, and who knows what would happen there.
Okay. Now, moving on to the abortion provision that's contained in the Health and Human Services bill. Laura, you've been tracking that bill. Where does that stand now?
Well, the bill, we're told, is sitting on House Speaker Steve Swigum's desk right now as he's in charge of the session that's underway. It's a 700-page bill, and he apparently is going to play a little game of chicken with the Senate and the governor and take his time in getting that bill to the governor's desk. He has to sign off on the final report before it goes to the governor's desk, and he said, well, it's a long bill. I'm a slow reader. It might take me a while. And frankly, his staff are kind of researching how long they can stall on this. The Constitution just simply says that he can't delay in getting it to the governor. What's a delay? Apparently, there was a bill a few years ago that Senate Majority Leader Ruck Thurmo was partly responsible for a 20-day delay in getting to the governor's desk. So there's certainly precedent for this, and we'll see how long it drags out. I believe it will get to the governor by tomorrow. And then, of course, he's indicated he will veto it almost immediately and send it back.
Would that then still leave legislators enough time to, I suppose, either repass the bill, try to override the veto,
right,
take the provision out and pass a separate? What's likely to occur then?
There's just so many options. They don't have the votes to override the veto, so I think certainly opponents of this provision are hoping that they will then just take it out and send him a clean Health and Human Services bill. But even that, there are substantial differences between the version that passed the House and the version that initially passed the Senate. They take a much different approach to welfare reform, to nursing home reform. There are significant differences, and that bill is always difficult to work out, even without the abortion waiting period in there. So, yeah, I think the clock is definitely ticking. We're starting to feel a little more tension around this place, and I can't imagine that lawmakers aren't getting a little anxious as the clock ticks.
Mm-hmm. Now, we also mentioned the concealed carry bill. That's still scheduled for a Senate vote this week.
It will come up sometime this week. I don't think it'll be today, but it'll come up as an amendment to Senator Bob Lassard's bill on shooting ranges. And, you know, everyone's saying it's just too close to call. It's within a couple of votes. Both sides are lobbying these final senators, and they're pretty much what stands in between this becoming law, because the House has already passed it. The governor has indicated he would sign it, and so it's up to the Senate.
Mm-hmm. And have we, before we wrap up here, have we heard any more about when it is that the leadership will decide how much money can be spent on each of these broad areas, which kind of sets in motion then the final negotiations?
Well, they are
so-called targets.
The targets, yeah, it's inside baseball language, but it's an important term. The conference committees obviously are on hold until they get these targets. They can talk about other parts of the bill, but until they have the dollar amount they can work with, there's not a lot they can do. And leadership is probably going to be meeting later today. They did meet briefly over the weekend, didn't resolve anything. The governor was out of town, and they're hoping that he'll be, at least House Republicans are hoping he'll be actively involved in these negotiations. So I think conference committees are hoping they will get their targets later today, but that, too, might be into tomorrow, which doesn't leave a lot of time.
Okay. Well, keep us posted. Thanks for the information, folks.
We will. Thank you.
Minnesota Public Radio's Capitol reporters, Laura McCollum and Michael Koo, joining us from our bureau at the state capitol. Again, this is the final week of the legislative session, and we will be keeping a close eye all week long on just what the legislators are doing. Now, we want to mention so many of these issues that we've already been talking about this hour are issues that a lot of people feel strongly about. And what we're urging you to do is two things. First of all, we're going to be opening the phone lines here shortly, but also check out our website, minnesotapublicradio.org. Great opportunity at our website to state your opinions on some of these major issues of the day. This is a good time to weigh in, because this is the time when legislators will actually be making their decisions. So take advantage of that if you're online, minnesotapublicradio.org. Meanwhile, for a while, this hour, we're going to talk about that stadium issue. 4 years ago, of course, when the legislature was called into special session to vote on a twin stadium bill, the phone system at the Capitol was literally overrun with Minnesotans expressing their opposition to the bill. No public money for a stadium, no bailouts for billionaires, some of the phrases we heard at the time. This year, though, public reaction has been substantially more muted. In fact, legislators report that most people who have contacted them actually support the Twins bill currently before the legislature. Actually, as you heard from Michael Kuh, there are now essentially two Twins bills. Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission, which held a series of hearings around the state on this ballpark issue, said most people who turned out for those hearings also supported construction of a new ballpark for the Twins. Maybe it's the Twins' great start this season that has fueled support. Perhaps it's the possibility that Major League Baseball will buy out and shut down the Twins if they don't get a new ballpark. Perhaps opponents simply haven't geared up yet or are worn down. Perhaps this year's Twins ballpark is simply more palatable to many people, the ballpark bill. Whatever the reason, the reaction so far has been more muted. But this hour, we'd like to hear from those of you who are concerned about this issue, one way or the other. Is this Twins ballpark bill that's currently working its way through the legislature one that you think legislators should support? Or should this one be rejected, just as all the others have been in recent years? Give us a call here. Our Twin City area number, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Outside the Twin Cities, you can reach us toll-free. That number is 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000, 1-800-242-2828. We would like your thoughts this hour on the latest incarnation of the Twins ballpark bill. As you heard, it has moved now out of the House Tax Committee. The bill, though, that has advanced now is substantially different than the one that has passed a committee in the Senate. This latest version includes very, very little public money for a ballpark, about 3%, according to supporters. Only 3% of the total cost would be covered by taxpayers. In the other bill, something in the area of 80% would be paid for by private funds, 20% by public money. Let's go to our phones here, and first caller on the line is from Eden Prairie. Alan, go ahead, please.
Yeah, good afternoon. I guess I've been watching the stadium debate for the last 4 or 5 years, and I'm kind of puzzled. I mean, I've heard of comparisons of, you know, if this doesn't pass, if this doesn't go, we're going to become a cold Omaha because of the lack of sports teams down there. When you're looking at the overall, you know, budget and the overall amount of money that's involved here, it seems to be a relatively small amount. And seeing what happened over in St. Paul, how they got massive amounts of public subsidy, my only concern, I guess, is the fact that they're going to probably force it down the throats of the being in downtown. I'm not a big fan of having to go downtown to see all my sports. You know, some people are, and there's a lot of money downtown, but I've supported the Twins stadium drive before. I still do. I hear the talk about the billionaire owners and such as that, but that's kind of the state of the situation. It's supported by the public financing to get the stadiums, and if we don't like it, I guess they can always leave, even though they tried last time and weren't too terribly successful. They could close them down. You know, they're doing great this year, so that really does throw a wrench into some of the people's, you know, thought processes of small markets, but I don't know. I would support the Twins stadium. I don't think this was going to be a win situation. No one seems to be talking about the fact that the owners probably aren't going to go for it. So they'll pass a law and that they'll say, this isn't what we wanted. So thanks, but no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds like is going to happen at least. So okay. Why bother going through the exercise?
Okay. So bottom line here.
Yep.
Bottom line, just drop the bill because it's unlikely the Twins would be able to accept a proposal like this?
Makes sense. Well, yes, I guess just for the fact that it's not going to be something that they're going to approve anyway. So there's so many things going on in the legislature. I mean, you're going to have the HHS bill shot down, and who knows if there's going to be a government shutdown in that part of it. I mean, you've got something that's never been covered, which is the gas. They're passing a law that says you can't sell gas for below cost this summer when the price is going to be around $3 if things go crazy. You know, there's so much more they could be dealing with, and if you're going to pass a bill to make yourself look good and feel good, and then when it comes down to it, the person that's going to have to, on the other side, that has to approve it, say, well, we're the Twins and we don't like it, so thanks, but no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point?
Okay. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
We are talking this hour about the latest incarnation of the Twins ballpark bill. Actually, two versions currently before legislators. One version, which would require the state to provide the Twins with an interest-free loan for approximately half the cost of a $300 million stadium. That bill passed a Senate committee a while ago, but has been languishing in that committee, awaiting action in the House. Today, a House committee passed a different version of the bill, one which would not issue an interest-free loan for the stadium at all, but rather would simply use the state authority to issue revenue bonds. The Twins, in one form or another, apparently would be on the hook for about 97% of the cost. That bill has now moved to the House Ways and Means Committee. We're interested this hour in whether you think legislators should be supporting any of these bills in this last week of the legislative session. Give us a call here, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Also, just a reminder that we have a survey, if you will, underway online, minnesotapublicradio.org, on this issue and some of the other controversial issues facing legislators. So if you're near a computer, you can log on and have your say there as well. Caroline, go ahead, please.
Hi. My comment is the bottom line. I totally do not support any money for any stadium at all. And the reason that I haven't been more forthright on my opinion this year is because I thought it was a dead issue. I think it has been vividly clear to the legislators over the past 2 years that we do not support it. And I guess I'm surprised at the continued push for money for a baseball stadium when we are squabbling over money so our children can read and write, and money to get for people to be able to afford health insurance. And baseball is so minuscule on the whole scheme of life that I can't believe that they're still pushing it, and I still strongly, strongly oppose any money at all for the baseball stadium.
Even this really small amount contained in this latest version, you'd still oppose that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Caroline.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's move on to another caller who's on the line. Bill, go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hi there. You're on the air.
You know, I listened to that committee this morning, and I couldn't help but remember, I'm old enough to remember very well, the hour and the minute when they announced that the Senators were coming to Minnesota, and what a victory that was, and what a great feeling it was for the people of Minnesota. And now, when you hear this committee amending and amending to make it tougher and tougher for the Twins to stay, you wonder why they have this mentality of actually sounding like they're enemies of the Twins, of this community asset. And I just don't know what can change their attitude. Mr. Kroenke is the crankiest person I've heard in a long time as far as any kind of support for the Twins, and nobody seems to want to go out of their way to see what we can do to keep the Twins. If we lose the Twins, in 10 years after I'm gone, it'll cost an awful lot more money to get Major League Baseball back here, and they're going to be whining and dining and giving to get somebody to come here. Mm-hmm. And we are so, so foolish in what we are doing right now in the state legislature for making it tougher and tougher for the Twins to stay. It's really, maybe it's penny wise, but it's just darn pound foolish.
Well, our last caller, Bill, Caroline, said that, you know, given all the other needs of the state, education...
Oh, that has nothing to do with the other needs. We've got a big surplus. If we have to meet other needs, the legislature can do that. That's a bogus argument, and you know that, Gary. It's a bogus argument. You can't compare things like this. And anyway, the Twins are as big an asset to our national image as anything that we can do. And I especially enjoyed Warren Spanis, who came on and testified today. And he was reminding us of how much the Twins mean to shut-ins. And I'm a retired pastor, and I call on people all the time. And what they lived for was that afternoon or evening broadcast to the Twins. And it meant so much to them. And we've forgotten those people who are kind of voiceless in this thing. There are so many reasons to want to keep this asset in Minnesota. Right. You can't count the ways, and I think that the previous speaker, the woman, she just isn't interested in baseball, that's all. And it's too bad, but I suppose she's interested in music or the theater, and we've given plenty of help. subsidy help to those areas.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
Okay.
We are talking this hour about the latest incarnation of the Twins ballpark bill. Actually, there are two versions currently before the Minnesota legislature. Just a month ago, it looked like the whole process was dead, but it came back to life. And today, a bill that essentially strips out all but about 3% of the public funding for a ballpark. A bill did advance to the House Ways and Means Committee, so the issue is still alive. Two different versions now, one which would provide help to the Twins to pay for about half of the stadium, and then this latest incarnation, which would provide help to the Twins to pay for about 3% of a new stadium. At any rate, we're interested in whether or not you think legislators should support one of these versions this year, or reject the issue as they have in the past. Just 1 week to go now at the Minnesota legislature. 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Pat, you're up next. Go ahead, please.
I'd like to say that I really oppose any public money for the stadium. I think it would be lovely if the Twins stayed, but I do think that there are people in the community who can afford to lend their support to it financially, and that's the way it should go. Otherwise, we're into this business of let's subsidize the large corporations who make plenty of money, and or as the old saying goes, it's capitalism for the poor and socialism for the rich. I enjoy listening to the Twins from time to time, and I'm delighted that they're winning. I think it's sad when they don't, and that people seem to sort of ignore them or are not pleased with them. But there should be no need for public money. There are just plenty of people who can afford to chip in, and as the longer we wait, it seems to me more and more people come up with the money to do it.
Mm-hmm. So zero money.
Exactly.
Forget about 2% or 3%.
Forget about any percent.
Okay. Thanks, Pat.
Surely.
Let's move on to David, who joins us from Minneapolis. David, go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hi there.
I'm not a native Minnesotan. I moved here in 1977. And when I moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota, I was struck by the public-spiritedness and the sense of can-do in our politics and in our community. And I just don't understand why this issue has become framed as a zero-sum game. We have a surplus. We have plenty of resources to invest in higher education at the University of Minnesota, an asset to the entire state. We have plenty of money to invest in public education for kids, and we have money to make a modest investment to keep Major League Baseball in Minnesota, and I support some degree of public funding to make that happen. It's not a zero-sum game. We can work together to make the investments that we need for all our priorities in the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Well, before you run, David, what about the argument that, you know, we shouldn't be in the business of supporting private businesses? There's plenty of private money available, and perhaps most importantly, the longer the legislature has put off this decision, the better the deal has become for the taxpayer. That is to say, there's less and less public money involved.
It's a very good deal for the taxpayer. The bills that are being considered are better than any other stadium deal in any other part of the country, perhaps except for San Francisco. And, again, if we didn't have resources to invest in a range of priorities for the citizens of the state of Minnesota, I might think differently. But it's not a zero-sum game. We can have limited public support for the stadium and fund our other priorities that people support.
But if we wait, my point was, I'm sorry I didn't make myself clear, David. If we waited a little bit longer, couldn't we get the Twins and other private interests just to build the whole thing, that the public wouldn't have to pay anything?
Well, if we wait too much longer, the Lords of Baseball may decide to contract the National and American Leagues and just get rid of the teams that that currently aren't doing well financially. And that's a risk that has to be considered.
Okay. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Let's get one more caller on here before we break for news headlines. Don, that would be you. Your position on this Twins ballpark, the latest incarnation?
Well, hi, Gary. My position is I'm pro-baseball and pro-Minnesota Twins. I'm against any public money being spent on it due to the fact that the return on investment that we look at in the business world, return on investment should be looked at. And if it is such a good deal, and if it will be profitable, then private organizations should jump all over it to be able to put their money into it, receive funds back from it, and not have public money spent on it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're told that under the worst-case scenario, private money, that is to say the Twins and other business interests, worst-case scenario would be paying 50% of the costs up front, and then in this other new version, end up directly or indirectly paying 97% of the cost. Is that sufficient for your purposes, or 100%?
Well, again, it goes back to the fact that if it is a good investment, then the private business community or private investors themselves should be able to put up their money so that they can make a conscious choice to make that particular investment. I'm not comfortable with my money that's being taken from me via taxes and so forth being arbitrarily spent on something that I think the private industry should be able to support wholly.
Mm-hmm. And finally, I believe it was David, our caller earlier,
yes,
said this is a public community asset that we're talking about here. Does that color your thinking at all in terms of pure business investment versus a common good community asset?
Well, if the Twins players were being paid by public money, if that was coming out of our coffers, yes. But they're being paid by private organizations. And so if they're being paid by a private organization whose interests are best being filled, then that money should come from private organizations also.
Thanks, Don. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
We're talking this hour about the latest incarnation of the Twins ballpark bill. Actually, two versions are now alive at the Minnesota State Capitol, but there's only a week left in the Minnesota legislative session. And the bills are quite different, and there is some question as to whether or not legislators will have the time or take the time to actually try to move this issue along. One thing everybody seems to agree on, at the state capitol, and that is, to this point, the reaction to this legislation is substantially different than it was 4 years ago when, as we noted, the legislators were swamped with calls from opponents to the proposed legislation at that time. Legislators say the response this year has been much more muted to the extent there has been response. It's mostly been from people who support the legislation. We're interested in whether you support the legislation that's being talked about or whether you think legislators should reject this bill as they have past bills on the Twin Stadium issue. They only have a week now to make a decision. 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Just a reminder, if you're near a computer, you can also weigh in online at minnesotapublicradio.org. Let's catch up on some news headlines now. Here's Greta Cunningham. Greta?
Thanks, Gary, and good afternoon. Seriously ill people who use marijuana for medical purposes aren't getting any relief from the U.S. Supreme Court. In an 8-0 decision today, the court has ruled a federal law that makes marijuana illegal applies to everyone and makes no exceptions for medical marijuana users. Justice Stephen Breyer didn't take part in the ruling because his brother, a federal judge, initially presided over the case. Many sufferers of AIDS, cancer, and other diseases have said the drug helps them deal with their pain. Lawyers for Oklahoma City bomber conspirator Terry Nichols want the U.S. Supreme Court to give him a new trial. They point to the FBI's failure to give Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh's lawyers thousands of documents. In April, the justices turned down Nichols' request for a new trial. But in papers filed over the weekend and released today, Nichols' lawyers asked the justices to reconsider. They say the disclosure that the documents were withheld from McVeigh should make them see Nichols' appeal in a much more favorable light. President Bush is promising police and prosecutors $550 million for a two-year program to combat gun violence. Speaking in Philadelphia, Bush unveiled his Project Safe Neighborhoods program, which focuses on enforcing current laws rather than enacting new restrictions on gun possession. Bush says he plans to hire 113 new assistant U.S. attorneys and 600 new state and local prosecutors to handle gun cases. The plan also provides $44 million to improve criminal record keeping so convicts cannot buy guns legally. In regional news, Minneapolis and St. Paul would remain in separate congressional districts under a plan released today by Senate DFLers. Republicans would like to combine the Twin Cities into one district surrounded by three suburban districts. But DFLers argue that Minneapolis and St. Paul have separate identities and should hold on to the two congressional districts. The forecast for Minnesota calls for sunshine and warm temperatures statewide, with highs ranging from 75 in the north to around 90 in the southwest. Right now in St. Cloud, it's overcast and 64. Skies are fair in Rochester and 69. It's cloudy in Duluth and 53. And in the Twin Cities, some scattered clouds with a temperature of 66. Gary, that's a look at the latest news.
All right, thanks, Greta. It's 24 minutes before 1 o'clock. This is Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. Today we're conducting what amounts to an informal poll of those of you who are listening to this station. As you probably heard by now, the Twin Stadium bill is alive at the state capitol. It passed a key committee test this morning, passing the Minnesota House Tax Committee. It's been changed quite a bit. The amount of public money that would go toward a new Twins ballpark has been substantially reduced, down to about 3% of the total cost, according to supporters. The previous incarnation, the one that's still alive in the Senate, would call for approximately 20% of the funding to come from public sources, give or take. But at any rate, different versions of this bill are still alive. Legislators have been saying the reaction pro and con has not been all that overwhelming, but to the extent there has been reaction to these to this legislation, it has been far more favorable than it has been to previous Twins ballpark legislation. Interested in your thoughts on these latest bills, with the legislature coming to a close, 1 week to go. 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Pat, go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm just calling to say that I live out in the rural western central Minnesota, and my husband and I look forward to listening to the Twins games whenever they're on, and it's certainly a form of recreation that myself and our friends in these areas have enjoyed. And in that sense, I guess I think of them as being somewhat public, and it appears that the bills have gradually come to where the public doesn't pay very much towards it. And I think that 3% is a lot of free advertising for the state. Just as the Vikings are when they do well, so are the Twins, even when they don't do well.
Mm-hmm. The Twins have indicated that that 3% bill might be insufficient for their needs. If you could go back to the other version of this bill, which would require a subsidy of, plus or minus 20%, would that be too much money, public money, for your taste, or about right?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, I've tried to follow this and read a bit, and I'm not sure of, I know I've heard of the no interest, you know, over the period of the loan for the Twins.
Right.
But I'm not sure of the 20% bill and exactly what it's like. But I guess in general, I would have to say, yeah, again, it's kind of a lot of free advertising. It's not exactly an intellectual answer, but certainly we enjoy them an awful lot out here. And just as we enjoy public radio, you know, it's partially public supported, a lot private supported. And I think that that would be a fair percentage for the Twins as well.
Okay. Thanks, Pat.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Appreciate it. I should clarify that there is no such thing as a 20% bill. I made that figure up, made that name up, actually. What it amounts to is the bill that would provide the interest-free loan to the Twins, and various economists have come up with the costs that that interest-free loan would, what that would cost the state, and then you add in additional factors. Thus, my name, the 20% bill. Rick, go ahead, please.
Good morning, Gary. How are you doing today?
Just fine.
I agree and disagree with a lot of points with all the callers so far. I am not opposed to a small amount of public money going to build a stadium. I am totally opposed to any amount of public money going to build a stadium until Major League Baseball changes its attitude about salary cap and adopting what the NFL has. Because until they do that, the Twins are always going to be a small market team, and they're always going to be in danger of the state losing them.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how successful the Twins are or how nice a stadium we build, it's never going to put money in the coffers of the Twins owners anywhere near what Steinbrenner has.
Right. Now,
it's just not going to help.
This legislation does, both versions, both the Senate version and House version, do. They both include provisions which say no money will be spent until Major League Baseball changes its economic structure And in one case, the governor would decide. In another case, a three-judge panel would decide whether or not those changes are sufficient to give the Twins a fighting chance. With those provisions, then, would you support this legislation?
I'd have to know. Excuse me. I'd have to know more about the provisions. It's like one of the previous callers said. Corporate investment should be the thing involved here. If it was a good investment, all right, they would be putting money into it. And the reason it isn't a good investment is because of the small market status, and they realize it's always going to be that way. But that's a good point. I hadn't heard that there were some of those provisions in there, and I'd have to know more about that to give it full support.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's move on to George, who's on the line from Brooklyn Park. Hi, George.
Hi, how you doing?
Just fine. Your thoughts here on this latest incarnation of the Twins ballpark plan?
Well, I tell you, my thoughts are the same as it was 4 years ago. I don't hear anybody thinking about whatever happened to the old Met Stadium and why they moved into the Metrodome in the first place. And it seems like this bill is a little bit incomplete without adding a dome on. I imagine that much like some kind of electronics store would be the upsell for the taxpayers to put a dome on it in a couple of years when they play their first game in April and it's snowing.
So what is that bottom line here for you? You oppose the bill then?
The bottom line is that I think that it's kind of silly to think about building another stadium when, you know, years ago we had a perfectly good stadium and they wanted to move into a dome stadium in downtown. And I think that's perfectly suitable for a small market team.
Okay. All right. Thanks, George.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Let's move on to Chris, who joins us from Minneapolis. Good afternoon, Chris.
Yeah, I don't really think the government has any business putting money to private businesses. I run my own business, and if I decide to leave the state, you know, are they going to give money to the Dinky Town Emporium? I mean, I don't think so. I mean, not only because of the nature of what I sell, but because I'm not valued, you know, highly enough, and that's no reason to give money. Like, let's give money to this and that. I mean, I just don't understand.
What about the argument, Chris, that although your business may be a fine business and one of great value to the state of Minnesota, it is not one that will attract 1.5 to 2 million people. They don't come over to watch you do your work, and doesn't generate the kind of national publicity for Minnesota that a Major League Baseball team would, and it doesn't create that sense of statewide community that people claim the baseball team does. Those things count for anything?
Sure, but who's to say that I don't become the next, you know, Dayton's of hemp? You know, I mean, what if, like, they lost the chance to, like, be, you know, the sole.
Getting some prompting in the background there?
Yeah, I don't know if people are rude. I mean, I just don't agree. The public should not be putting money into private enterprise. I mean, look at how we financed a, you know, beautiful new department store and office building downtown for Dayton's. I mean, what's up with that?
Okay.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, I don't want my money going towards that. I'd rather have it going towards hemp research.
All right.
And we could, like, spend that the money for a stadium to, like, help all the farmers in this state. Isn't that more valuable? Why are we so worried about attracting all these tourists? I mean, like, look at the Mall of America. How much subsidy did they get? They're the biggest tourist attraction in Minnesota. I don't even know if they got any subsidy. But, I mean, it just is ridiculous. It's public versus private, and it should stay that way.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Let's move on to Rob, who's on the line from Minneapolis. Rob, your thoughts on this latest Twins proposal?
Well, I'm a recent transplant from Boston, where just as I was leaving, they were making noises about using eminent domain to take over some land there. And I thought, well, maybe I can get away from this kind of insanity moving to Minnesota. And I arrive here, and I find, guess what? The government is once again going to charge in and involve itself in what's basically a private business operation. You know, the Minnesota Twins belongs to an individual. The team is not, you know, owned by the state. It's not part of the state. I fail to understand why the state is then involving itself in subsidizing this. As the previous caller said, you know, he doesn't get a state subsidy. State doesn't come in and say, hey, you know, we know you need an upgrade in your equipment. Here's some money. Plus, it also seems to me, and then I'll shut up and let you be, that it seems to me that professional sports teams have this tendency every few years to decide, you know, we need a new stadium. And then there's all that money that's been spent on stadium or whatever other facilities, subsidies from the governments and things, that are then sitting there, I don't know, unused, demolished, sold to somebody else. It seems to me that there's some reevaluation needs to be done of the whole relationship between a state or city and a sports team.
Does it make any difference to you, Chris? I'm sorry. I missed you.
Rob.
Rob, I'm sorry. Does it make any difference to you the amount of money involved? The bill that moved out of the House Tax Committee today, at least according to the supporters, involves a relatively minuscule amount of public money, only 3% of the $300 million cost.
Okay, so we're looking at, what, $10 million?
Yes.
Somehow, I think there are probably homeless people and poor people out there who just be perfectly happy to get any small fraction of that. And I think if we're looking at $3 million that a private corporation, private industry of that kind of size and scale should be able to come up with another 3 million beans.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We have, we're talking this hour about the latest version, or versions, actually plural, of the Twins ballpark plan. The plan cleared a significant hurdle this morning. That is to say, it's still alive. A Minnesota House Tax Committee passed a version of the bill and moved it on to the House Ways and Means Committee. Still a long way from becoming law. Legislators have indicated that to this point, what they have heard about the from the public mostly is in support of the plan, but they have not received as much response as they did 4 years ago when the phone system was all but burned out by people who were opposed to the legislation that was before legislators 4 years ago. This year, for whatever reason, reaction has been more muted, and to the extent there has been reaction, it has been generally favorable. We're interested in your thoughts on whether this version, this year's version of a ballpark plan for the Minnesota Twins, might be more palatable. We've received some responses online, a couple of comments regarding current question of public support of stadiums for the Twins or Vikings. There is no reduction of our household's aversion to public support. Where has it been demonstrated that we have any shortage of entertainment? The public is already on the hook for substantial investments in infrastructure that already serves pro sports. My comment about the current, this is from Paul Harder of Minnetonka, my comment about the current or any other stadium bill is simply that as long as the state of Minnesota passes laws that help any business in Minnesota, that is the money and tax breaks given to Northwest Airlines several years ago, for example, it seems proper to help the Twins to some degree. I do agree with several of your callers in that with a surplus, we should be concentrating on the education system, both K-12 and post-secondary. But, says Mr. Harder, I truly believe that the Twins are very much a part of this state and should have the same shot at tax breaks and public loads as any other business in Minnesota. And from Maria comes this message, a quarter of my paycheck goes to taxes. I want my money back, not to support the Twins. I see little enough return on this money through services the way it is. All these people who want taxpayers to pay for the new Twin Stadium, where were they when Jesse requested people to donate their tax returns? Let them pay for it. Back to the phones. We have a caller from Hibbing with some thoughts on the Twins ballpark proposal, 2001 version. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
You got some weird beeping.
Pretty much touched on everything I wanted to add, but I just want to add the one thing. First off, I am very opposed to any public money. We made that very clear 4 years ago when people with little voices got out and made a big sound. And secondly, I'd like to know how this becomes a state problem to begin with and how this ends up tying up so much time in our legislative session when we have so many more important issues to get to. And then for the callers that keep talking about the surplus, hey, part of that surplus is mine and I would like it back also, or to go to something good like education or human services. I mean, not for greedy billionaire ball club owners that are having a basically throwing a five-year-old temper tantrum because we won't pick up the tab.
Okay.
I mean, he's worth $2.5 million or $1 billion.
All right.
Let him take out that $300 million and pay for it himself.
Okay, zero public funding in your mind.
Zero. It is a sport. It is a business. It has nothing to do with our state laws or our state government. Get it off the House floor.
Thank you, Chris. Let's move on to Pete, who is up next. calling from St. Paul. Pete, your thoughts?
Hi. I just like to, most of your later callers I agree with. I don't think we have any business supporting a private business like that. It's just crazy. But one of the things I like to see that the news media doesn't seem to be pursuing us. One of the things, we paid for half of the Wolf Stadium, but then a few years later they came back and pleaded poverty, and then we ended up buying their half of the Wolf Stadium out again. Let's see, and also, I also don't hear much about, I moved to St. Paul about 5 years ago, and just before I left, the city of Minneapolis passed a referendum saying they weren't going to pay anything more than $10 million in support for a stadium. Had to go up for a referendum. I don't hear anything about that either.
About what?
About a stadium. There's a referendum in...
Right, yeah, there's a cap now in place in Minneapolis that the city can't spend more than $10 million in support of a pro-sports facility.
Yep, but they keep saying that they're going to, you know, donate... I keep hearing that they're going to donate land or goods or services, but nobody seems to mention that $10 million cap. It's like people forgot about that referendum's been passed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But also, I'd like to see, have you go back and look at... How the Timberwolves end up having the taxpayers buy the other half of the stadium. You know, they promised that they'd pay half of their Timberwolves stadium, and when they got it, and they pleaded poverty. We can't make any money, and then the taxpayers had to buy the other half of the stadium. So we basically own the whole Timberwolves stadium, except for the part that makes money, which is the sport, the health club. So,
okay. All right. Thanks, Pete.
One more thing is that...
Very quickly here. We've got a lot of callers on the line.
Okay. And one more thing is that the... Three or four callers ago, the fellow mentioned that when he kind of alluded to the fact that once they had an open air ballpark, then they'd probably come back and try to get us to buy a roof for it. And I think that's the same thing happened with the Metrodome. When they built the Metrodome, they built a bare bones Metrodome, and then they came back a couple years later and said, "Holy cow, it's hot in here! You know, have the taxpayers buy us I think it was $5 or $6 million for the air conditioning." So they came back and said, "You know, please buy our air conditioning." And I think that's what they're going to do with an open air ballpark. They'll probably plan when they can be retractable and then come back a couple years later and try to get us to pay for that.
Okay, thanks.
Hang up now and listen.
Thank you, Pete.
Bye.
Let's move on to Jim, who's on the line from Duluth. Jim, go ahead, please.
Hi, Gary. Thank you. Another great show. A quick question. There's a controversy about the Twins not agreeing to the state funding plan, the one that I'm in favor of, which is the lesser amount that the state is contributing. Has Mr. Polad given any comment?
I don't know what happened at today's committee hearing. I'm sorry, I should know that, Jim, but I don't know if the Twins took a formal position, yay or nay. I don't believe they did, although as of Friday, when the idea first surfaced, Twins officials did express some concern about whether there was enough help in the bill for them.
Because it's all a matter of negotiating. I mean, we're approaching the deadline, which I believe is this off season, and so we don't want to make the same mistake that the Timberwolves made when they negotiated that contract with Kevin Garnett by, you know, giving up. We need to save our best offer until the last moment, kind of like brinksmanship. Because I just don't see how, as long as we give something, and I think that's a fair amount. You know, we are contributing a considerable amount, but 3% is not like, you know, the state is paying for most of it. But I don't see how Mr. Polad can refuse a generous offer like that, especially since he is a native Minnesotan and has a considerable wealth on his own. So I am definitely in favor of the smaller amount that the state contributes. I just think they just need to present it, you know, at the appropriate time for it to be accepted. Thank you for the great show, as usual.
Okay, thanks, Jim. By the way, Michael Koo checks in from the state capitol to report that, indeed, the Twins have not taken a formal position yet on that smaller subsidy, what supporters say would amount to about 3% of the total cost of a $300 million stadium. The Senate version of that bill would require more public money, something in the range of about 20% of the cost of the $300 million stadium. Jeff, a quick comment here before we wrap up.
Well, I'm just going to say that being disabled, I can't get into the Met for anything. I can't afford a ticket. I don't see why state money should go for any help for Polad or his team. And I don't know why they're even wasting time on it, why the government is wasting time on it.
Because it's a private business or because you can't go watch the team?
It's an entertainment. it's like going to the theater or anything else. The government doesn't support the local movie theater here. Why should they support the Twins? It's entertainment.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Let's go on to Gene, who's on the line. Quick comment, Gene?
Yeah, this is Gene up in Duluth. I'm opposed to my tax dollars going to any stadium. And I'll tell you, when I went down there years ago with the family and got rained out at the old Met, that's just ridiculous to have an open stadium. The Dome has served us very well. We've won two series. Why can't the people that make the money, the bars, the hotels, the motels, if they need extra money, let them cough up, buy some stock, if it's such a good venture?
So you'd like to, if they're going to have a new ballpark, it should be totally privately funded, none of this 3% or anything more.
That's right. The heck with the taxpayer dollars. Let's put it back in their pocket where it started.
Okay. Thanks,
Thank
Gene.
You.
And Laurel, quick comment from you, please.
Yes, I'm a nurse at Hennepin County, and I've been working here since about 1982. So I have a perspective from a nurse and a working mom. And these are my comments. On the negative side, it's very expensive as an employee to park here and also for our clients, the ones that drive to park here. I have an off hours contract, and it still costs me $600 a year to park here. And the meters are enforced until 10 p.m., and it wasn't like that until the Dome was here.
So you'd like to see the Dome torn down and the teams leave town?
No, I love baseball.
Well, what's your point?
Yeah, then? Well, the thing is that some of the things that that sports offer is can't be measured in monetary value. You know, I think that we should support a minuscule amount of, you know, token tax money because they are our team. You know, if we have totally private support, it loses the fact that they're Minnesota's team. It's great advertising. It's great business. We benefit because Minnesota Twins players, as do Timberwolves and Vikings, come and donate their time and visit our patients, especially our pediatric patients. And you wouldn't believe the charitable work that they do. The Twins' wives contribute to our nursery, et cetera. So it's a community asset. Sports are here to stay. You know, that's the reality. Minnesotans play more softball and baseball than any other state, you know.
Laurel, we have to run. We're
okay.
Out of time. Thanks so much for your comments.
Bye.
We are out of time, but we'd like to thank all of you who called in or tried to call in with your comments. Now, again, just a reminder, check out our website. We're open for business on our website, minnesotapublicradio.org. There's a soapbox there. I'd like to get your thoughts on the stadium issue, other big issues before the legislature as well. And so go to the soapbox. Also, check out the midday page, minnesotapublicradio.org. And, of course, we will continue our coverage of this legislative session. This is the week, last week of the session, and there are many, many, many big decisions to come. We'll keep you up to date here on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Eichten. Thanks for joining us here on Midday today.
Programming on Minnesota Public Radio is supported by the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra. Martin Hasselbeck, court organist of Vienna, conducts works by Bieber and Haydn. Performances across the metro, May 16th through 19th. Tickets at www.thespco.org.
Talk of the Nation is next.
Minnesota Public Radio listeners connect to business, technology, and the world from home and work. For more information about turning NPR listeners into your customers, call Sarah at 651-290-1249.
You're listening to Minnesota Public Radio. Partly cloudy skies, 71 degrees at KNOW-FM, 91.1 Minneapolis and St. Paul. Sunny and warm all afternoon. It could hit the mid-80s yet today. Partly cloudy tonight with a 30% chance for a thunderstorm, low in the low 60s. Tomorrow it's going to be even warmer. Partly cloudy tomorrow. We might hit 90 degrees tomorrow.